Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome back to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercer Sisters, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Sister Rosemary Revel. Sister Rosemary, a warm welcome and hi am I to our radio program.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Sister Rosemary was born in Hastings and brought up in Clive, Hawke's Bay, then Point Chevalier. She's a sister of Mercy, who is a trained nurse and teacher, and has always had a great passion for gardening. In 2012, she was named Best Veggie Gardener in the finals and then won the overall competition by the New Zealand Gardener magazine as New Zealand Gardener of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
She shares her time today between her work in the garden at Papatuanuku Ki Taurangi Earth Promise, which works closely with Te Waipuna Puawai in Ellerslie, visiting older sisters at St. Mary's Convent in Ponsonby, or in hospital and being at the board of Carmel College in Milford on the North Shore. When you try to call Sister Rosemary and she cannot pick up the phone, her cheerful voice on the answering machine says, "I am probably out in the garden." Sister Rosemary, you are a trained nurse and teacher and a passionate gardener. I think that is a great combination. You definitely are a caring person, caring for the sick, old, needy, for caring for plants, caring for the future by nourishing others as a teacher. Do you feel that the caring as nurse and teacher led you to your passion for gardening?
No. I was a gardener from a toddler. I wasn't one of these that pulled out the plants that my mother planted, but I always helped in the garden. And in the school holidays, you know, about this time of the year, my father, we lived in Clive at that stage, my father would suggest that we perhaps dug some tunnels or he pegged out an area that we could dig in, because that was digging up his spring garden. And also in the holidays, we learned how to plant seeds and we watched things grow. So from an early age, well, from toddlerhood, really, I was in the garden.
Did you have a big garden at that time?
Well, we did in Clive, because we lived on what would be a lifestyle block, you could say that. My father worked in the labour department in Napier, and he'd come home and milk his six cows and feed the pigs, and Mum kept the hens, and we sold the eggs to the local grocer. Mm-hmm. So there were always hens and pigs and cows around for my first 10 years of life anyway. And we had a big garden with plenty of manure for the compost and so on. And it's one of my joys these days that one of the boys that works with me in the garden lives on a farm. And he brings me 20 litre buckets of cow manure for my compost. So that harks back to my early days.
And now you come back, you come to your childhood, but and what about your background as a sister or your activities as a Sister of Mercy?
Well, I did my nursing training first at Middlemore Hospital, and then I entered the convent. And my early days, the others that were in the novitiate with me, one of them was already a teacher, but the others didn't have any training at that stage. And so I was sort of out on a bit of a limb. So they sent me up to Mercy Hospital to help up in the hospital. And I would sometimes relieve some of the sisters for a day off. I was a registered nurse before I entered the convent. And then when I wasn't doing that, I was driving around the congregational leader. she would go and visit different convents, and she'd say to me, "Now, you're not to say where you've been today." And I'd say, "Oh, no, Mother." And one of the congregational leaders in those early days. She was very sick, and I used to take her to radiotherapy at Auckland Hospital, and I'd say to her, "Now, which way would you like to come home?" And she'd say, "Oh, how about the Rose Gardens today? Or how about Cornwall Park?" So, you know, we conspired to have a longer time out. but my early days as a sister, I spent a bit of time looking after the elderly sisters at St. Mary's Convent in Ponsonby. And then when I went back to the Mater full time,
Mater was the name of the hospital.
Well, Mercy Hospital. Mm-hmm. It was called Mater Misericordiae Hospital in those days. It didn't become Mercy Hospital until 1988. But we're talking about the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And so I was working in the Mary Agnes Ward, which was sort of the forerunner of the hospice. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of hospice type patients there, and it also had the very elderly that are now looked after in places like Mercy Parklands and other private hospitals. And so I was there with the older people for maybe 18 months or so, and then I went round all the surgical wards. There were a whole lot of very elderly sisters at that stage, and some, one or two into their 80s, that the matron of the hospital at that time was trying to get them to retire. So she'd sneak me in sideways, and because some of them wouldn't take a day off unless they were relieved by a sister. I was the sister. And so I'd work with them and get their confidence, and then they had the opportunity to maybe go on a course or something. And once they realised that the world didn't fall down if they weren't on the ward, we carried on. So I was sort of changed about every 3 or 4 months to a different ward, just trying to get some of these people to retire. Of course, they had other people that could be the charge nurse. But I think I was probably a wee bit of a diplomat. You know, they liked me, and once I proved to them that I could do the job, they were happy to sort of step back. But it took a lot of persuasion for some of them.
And you certainly gained a lot of experience in the different
wards.
Well,
I did, yes. And, you know, mainly surgical, but all sorts, really. So that was really a very interesting part of my early career as a Sister of Mercy, at nursing at Mercy Hospital. And in my second year in the novitiate, we did about 9 or 10 months as a what they call postulant. Now they call it the come and see stage. And then we did 2 years novitiate. My second year in the novitiate, I was asked if I'd start studying. And they had just begun a degree in nursing through Massey University. I think it was about the second or third year that it was in. And Sister Rita Marie was actually one of the first people to do that degree. So I started doing it extramurally through Massey University. And so I did two papers a year for quite a few years. And then I finally got the chance in 1981, I think it was, to do a full-time year at Palmerston North and finish my degree in nursing. So it was really good, though, to have the do both extramural and working at the coalface as well, mm-hmm. or the bedside, you could say, because you could experiment a bit. You could read up on something, and I remember doing an assignment on smell. And, you know, I could use what I was doing to prove my case. It was really around change, being a change agent and things like that.
I think it's always good to combine the practical and the theory.
Yeah, very much so. So that was really exciting. And I learned a lot then about leadership and about Well, just working alongside people and calling people forth, you know, seeing potential in people and mm-hmm. and encouraging them to go further. And we had some really nice young registered nurses at that stage who went on to do really great things. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. That was good. And then, well, you know, I worked with older people. I was the charge nurse on a geriatric ward because I used gerontology as my specialist area. Mm-hmm. That's how come I happened to be working with our elderly sisters at St. Mary's in pastoral care, because yeah. my background is really quite extensive in looking after the elderly. Mm-hmm. So,
and then you learned to teach.
Yes, well, in 1989, one of the sisters, we had a chapter like we've just had recently, and one of the sisters from Samoa was over for it, and she made a plea, you know, is there anybody that could come to Samoa to help? She said, I don't care what you can do, it's to have the presence there to help the young Samoan sisters who were sort of starting out, a lot of them still in training and so on, and support for her too. So after this, I caught up with her at the afternoon tea time, and I said, would I be any use? You know, I'm a nurse, but you know, I'm open to anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, she says, yes, yes, yes. So I responded to that call, and I talked to the congregational leader at that time and said, you heard Nora's plea. You know, I'd be happy to see if I
support
could,
her.
Yeah, support her and see if I could manage, because I know being in a tropical country can be quite enervating, and it's not everybody's cup of tea. So I was due for a time of renewal. I'd been, in the convent for nearly 20 years. And so I was given the opportunity to go for about 4 or 5 months and then go on a renewal course. And so I did. And I didn't have a specific class or anything like that. But what I did was, because I could use a sewing machine, I mended everything in sight, most of the kids' uniforms as well, because a lot of them didn't have access to sewing machines and so on. So I made curtains and I mended things, and I also helped the sister who was in the clinic at that stage. So,
and did you do some gardening there?
I did a little bit. I helped Sister Ethna. Sister Ethna was the nurse, and she had a big garden, and I helped her in the garden there too. And then I had the opportunity to go to Tarramurra in Sydney to do a cross-cultural studies course mm-hmm. in 1990. And that sort of really set me up for the 6 years I spent in Samoa. Mm-hmm. But I came back in the middle 2 years to do my postgraduate diploma in teaching, and they, at that stage, the course was 3 or 4 years, but they were able to give me, to allow me to do it in less time mm-hmm. if I did some weekend courses, and also they cross-credited some of my nursing papers, so mm-hmm. I did that in 2 years, and then went back to Samoa for another 3 years, so.
I was also wondering, when you said you're in Samoa and you have that passion for gardening, and the Samoans always talk about the fruit from the plantations. Difference between...
Well, a plantation, most of the settlement in Samoa is around the coastline, and the plantations are up in the hills. Mm-hmm. Sorry. They're up in the hills, and so, you know, they might have three-quarters of an hour walk up to the plantation, because it's in the cooler, higher area mm-hmm. and very thick vegetation. And so in their plantations, they'd have their big crops like their coconuts and their taro. They might have some manioca and maybe some pumpkins.
But you wouldn't have lettuce or anything like that?
Well, nothing that's going to wilt on the way home.
Okay.
You might grow some of that around your house.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We made a garden and we'd put the coconut fronds over it to keep it sheltered in the heaviest part of the sunny day. But we'd take it off in the morning and the evening and, you know, we'd be watering and so on.
You learned a new way of gardening there.
I did. And our Samoan sisters learned a new way of gardening too, because Sister Ethna would go up by Lima Hill, which there was a government garden there that was hoping to introduce a lot more fruits and vegetables to Samoan people.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'd go up there and she'd buy things like Chinese cabbage, and some lettuces grew there, but it was actually too hot, mm-hmm. too humid for mm-hmm. some of them. A lot of things, they just bolted. They didn't mature properly. So, and all the tomatoes were sort of this greeny color. it was too hot for a lot of the
different climate.
Yes. But, even just getting the kids to eat pawpaw and things that were plentiful, they'd say, oh, the pigs eat that. But a lot of them were deficient in vitamin C and they'd have sores and things like that, particularly in the breadfruit season, because the breadfruit didn't have the vitamins and minerals that the taro had and those sort of things, yeah.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Sister Rosemary Revel. Sister Rosemary is a sister of mercy, nurse, teacher, and passionate gardener. Sister Rosemary, you told me earlier that one of the events that you liked most during your work at Edgecombe College, about 20 kilometers away from Whakatane, was your involvement in EnviroSchools and the preparation of a World Environment Day in 2008. Can you tell us more about this event?
Oh, yes. That was quite an exciting time. We got permission from the principal. At that stage, I had the acting deputy principal flatting with me because her husband was away in France. They were English and they had a set of cottages in France, but they'd immigrated to New Zealand, but he had to go back and fix up the cottage. So she was looking for a place to stay, and I was just along the road from the college. So between us, we cooked up this World Environment Day, and we had all sorts of things going, and it was good to have help from someone in high places. And we managed it as a whole school activity, and the big thing was to try and beautify the grounds and to tidy up the school. So the woodwork classes made these mobile gardens, wooden gardens, which were really nice, and they could be shifted around to different locations. The forestry class renewed the front fence in the front of the garden. The art classes, one of the senior art classes, they renewed a mural that we had on the wall by the swimming pool. Quite a few of the teachers got scrubbing brushes and things like that, and we cleaned every scrap of graffiti and so on from around the school. One group, because it was this World Environment Day was associated with Matariki, one group decided that they'd go to Thornton Beach and clear up the beach, the rubbish on the beach, and go fishing. And so about 20 of them went down there. They didn't catch any fish, but they had a marvellous time. And then Brenda, who was the acting DP, who stayed with me, she took the special needs class down to the shopping mall, and they just cleaned up all the rubbish around and cleaned any of the graffiti and painted over things. And they just hit a ball. They just felt so special. And I've been able to get some sponsorship from some of the plant shops around in Whakatane and some of the rural sort of native trees and things like that. So we planted, we got probably about $600 or $700 worth of plants and so on. And even parents came, and it was just lovely. And in the afternoon, they had hip hop and stuff like that. But the whole day was just a real success.
It sounds great. Yes. I hope that many schools imitated your example.
Well, unfortunately, when there was a change of government, the Enviro Schools whole concept has sort of faded into the background, because we did a lot of things like gathering paper for trees and, you know, we gather so many container loads of newspapers, and we get given a tree to plant.
Yeah.
And another group were part of a conservation replanting in Manawahay up in the hills there. So a lot of the funding for Enviro Schools changed.
Mm. Well, still the ideas are there, and
yes,
we can do something in that area. And maybe some of the listeners have are motivated now to try to do something in their schools.
Well, I hope so. There's a lot of garden to plate things going on around Auckland, particularly like Mangere Bridge and some of the ones, Flatbush, I think, and some of the ones in southeast Auckland are into it too.
And in 2012, as I mentioned earlier, you received a special award. You were New Zealand Gardener of the Year. What did you have to do to get this award?
Well, I didn't really have to do anything. We have two wonderful volunteers, Wayne and Ping Erb, and they've been coming to our garden since 2010. And since they started coming, they've had two children. And anyway, Wayne is a journalist who works from home, and he'd seen this advertisement for nominating people for New Zealand Gardener of the Year. And he and Ping wrote this very cheeky article to nominate me. And he's such a good writer, you know, you'd have to read it. And some of what he said was spot on too, even if it wasn't complimentary to me. So all of a sudden, one day, I got this phone call from Joe, the editor of New Zealand Gardener magazine, Joe Carroll, and she said, "You've been nominated, and you've reached the finals of the New Zealand Gardener magazine." Oh, I said, I didn't know. I didn't even know I'd been nominated. Well, she said, you have to keep it under your hat for the next month. You know, it was pretty hard not to say anything. She said, the only people you can talk to are Wayne and Ping, because we've talked to them as well, because they are the ones who nominated you. In the meantime, I had the Choice TV come and do a program to interview me, and I had to pretend that I didn't know that I had won, because they'd done all the finalists, you know, a little 5 minutes slot. You know, 5 minutes on television is about 5 hours worth of recording. And so, you know, that was exciting. And also I was on the second to last program of Close Up. And the week before that Close Up, they'd done the week before they did the Close Up filming, I'd had a hip replacement. So I'm 5 days post-op of my second hip replacement.
And on television.
And yes, on television, I was sort of watching all the proceedings, but they, you know, they were very good. I could go and lie down in between times, but 5 hours is quite a long time to be involved with something when you, you know, you're just starting to walk around after surgery. But it was very good, and, you know, I enjoyed.
What did they put in that notice? Did they say that what you were growing or how you were growing? What was the main focus?
Well, the main focus was really the way that I worked with the disabled men that we had working in the garden. Our garden is really a garden, a community built around a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the usual sort of community garden, in that not everybody can come and just grow their own stuff. What we're doing is, our aim is to show people how to garden and get them to do their own garden at home. Because,
Teaching.
It's more teaching, yes. And Sister Bridget, who works alongside me, and Sister Teresa, who's the coordinator of the project, they each have their other jobs as well. But we work together at least 2 or 3 days a week in the garden. And part of our thing is to provide food for people who need it in the Glen Innes Pamure area, and that is through the connection with Te Waipuna Pūāwai, which is a second chance education mm-hmm. facility run by the Sisters of Mercy.
Yes, I interviewed Pua Media Maka a few weeks ago, and the interview with her is still online available at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk, and then you just click on archive and look for Pua Media, and then you can listen to the information about Te Waipuna Pūāwai.
Oh, that's great that Pumeria has been on, because she's such a dynamic person.
Yes. So
a lot of our connections in the garden are through Te Waipuna. Sister Bridget does a class, she does a 6-week block a couple of times a year.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment she's teaching at Macaulay High School, so she hasn't been able to do one the last term, but she's going to do one again in November.
And you work with disabled men, you said?
Yes. These men have come to us through Elevator, which is a non-governmental organisation that finds jobs for people with disabilities. And our men, they've all got their trials and problems and so on. But we're giving them a work ethic. We're teaching them about gardening. And three out of four have been with us for 4 years. The idea was, you know, to give them the experience of mm-hmm. of gardening and get them into work habits mm-hmm. and so on, and move them on to another job, but they don't want to go.
They like it with you. And I just remember last week was was the day of St. Francis of Assisi. Pope Francis chose the name Francis because of Francis of Assisi, the saint who became the patron of ecology. And it's another step towards a good stewardship, what you're doing, stewardship on the earth. Is there a special wish that you have for the future?
Well, my special wish for the future, and I just heard something on the radio this morning about giving entity to animals. There's some sort of fight in the States about a chimpanzee and I think an orangutan. Their whole attitude to of people to animals and so on, giving people an awareness of what our world's about. And the whole unfolding of the universe story, too.
Thank you for the beautiful words. Thank you, Sister Rosemary, for this interview. I really appreciate very much that you came to us to the studio. And I hope that you come again and tell us more, because I see that you have a lot more to tell. And I think that your work is the mercy values put into action. You show compassion, have respect for human dignity and our environment. You create awareness for future generations. And it's amazing to see that. Thank you very much for your great example. And just one more notice. We have an Advent retreat with Joy Ryan Bloor from Friday 31st of October to 2nd of November. If you you're interested in it, please give us a call at 09-638-6238. And have a lovely week. Thank you.